We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
The following is a presentation of Learfield. Welcome to Duck Insider.
Our whole athletic department, there's a level of expectations of success.
Throw, catch, touchdown, Oregon.
He can run and slam.
This is back out for a three. Left wing is good.
In the air to center, back at the wall. He's out of here.
Really excited that we get to rep our Ducks
and hopefully come back to Eugene with some championships.
Indoor track and field national champion.
Oregon repeats as the Pac-12 champion.
And for the fourth time in the last 6 years, the Ducks are Pac-12 champions.
We have so many teams that are excelling right now, and it's really fun to be a part of.
This is Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Live from the Country Financial Studio, here's Joey Mack.
Guess what day it is. It's H.J. Cohn Day, ladies and gentlemen. H.J. Cohn is here. It is Athletic Director Tuesday. H.J. Is going to take all of your questions. He has agreed to take over hosting the show. So that means that I get to go get ready for a 5 o'clock kickoff on Friday, 3 o'clock pregame show on the Oregon Sports Network, Oregon-Utah Pac-12 championship game. There's not a lot of teams that are playing this week, H, and it's going to be one of them.
Yep, absolutely. When you look down at the season so far, and certainly there's been highs and lows, I'll call it how a lot of people are, and everyone was so much looking forward, especially after Ohio State. It's no secret, had sights set on big goals, and that doesn't differ outside the walls of this building and Hatfield Allen as well.
You
all
don't
of us
say.
Do. But when you look down at the end of the year, it's like, that's a pretty good season.
Yeah.
I mean, Saban, I don't know if anyone saw Saban's rant the other day, but he was pretty darn spot on of it is really hard to do it, to meet the expectations year in and year out. And so for us to be 10-2 Pac-12 North champs, under the leadership we have is exceptional.
All right, let me put this in some context, what H.J. is talking about, because I'll maybe say it in a more blunt way than H. just did. This was only the 12th 10-win season in Oregon football history, and the second under the current head coach in Mario Cristobal. It's almost like maybe that's something to celebrate, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we're certainly celebrating, and I know our guys are excited. And, you know, the great news and really the way Coach Cristobal has been describing it, even in the locker room post-game, after beating the Beavs, was an earned opportunity.
Yep.
And, you know, personally for me, talking
with today.
Yeah, talking with season ticket holders, friends, donors, family, you name it, especially over the Thanksgiving, the long holiday week, if you will, and having some time together was, what's going on in the locker room? Was it, are they still there? Is it lost? Are they going to be ready after the Utah game? And it was like, nope, everyone showed up the next day. Stay the course. Don't listen to outside noise. Don't get distracted by it. The results showed. Earned opportunity. You get to play a team that you just got beat pretty good by. Neutral site. Certainly, Rice-Eccles Stadium is a very tough place to play. If you haven't been as a fan, they do an exceptional job there. Beautifully redone end zone. Their fans are great, very respectful, but also very much fanatics. And so, tough place to play. Great news. Heading to Vegas to go 1-0.
1-0, baby. Just go 1-0.
That's right.
And you're playing in the championship week. That's what you always want. You know, it's you're in a unique position compared to most Oregon fans. And that's what I'm going to call you right here, first and foremost, as an Oregon fan. I think we would both agree.
Alma mater fan, absolutely.
Yeah, my alma mater is Oregon. I mean, I am a paid fan. That is essentially what my job is. Anybody, if you ever dispute that, please email me because we'll have that discussion. I've had it a time or two, just like H probably has. You know, look – you hear from the movers and shakers around Oregon athletics. You hear from the coaches. You hear from the administrators. You hear from schmucks like me. You hear from what people in the media say. You hear what fans are saying. I mean, I think it's safe to say that you may have a pulse on what goes on maybe better than anybody because you hear it from so many different perspectives. How does that – there is a question here, but maybe I should ask if you agree with that first.
No, I think that's fair. I mean, I think at the end of the day, everyone you described, even the self-proclaimed schmuck, has the same end goal and really the same love and passion for Oregon. All of us want what's best for Oregon, right? Whether that's, are you fitting in those categories because of how much you donate, how many games you attend, how much you're on the social media pushing Oregon athletics. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a different category of what they fall into that. And there's not one that's better than the other. All of them fall under the same area of a love for this place to be successful.
Yes.
And a love to support our student athletes and our programs and be proud to walk through downtown Seattle Airport with the O on. You know, I mean, seriously, like the O for us and the Duck is such a fun brand to wear. I know a ton of people that personally make sure they seek it out on travel days, right? Because it's fun to walk through an airport and hear Go Ducks.
Right.
It's even more fun if you're in Seattle. But that's neither here nor there. My point in all this is, yes, I do hear from a lot of people just like you do, especially being at your alma mater and a place you work. So, yeah, I'm in a certain bucket that hear from a lot of people and that fall into different categories. But all of them, in my eyes, fall under the one umbrella.
I agree with that. So my question – I love that your answer basically just completely led me to what I was going to ask you in the first place. My question is, you hear from so many different perspectives, and you hear so many different perspectives. How often is your perspective changed by all the feedback that you hear? And I guess the way that I'm going to ask this properly is, how often are you constantly shifting the way that you're perceiving what's happening and success and all these different things? Because that is a loaded question, isn't it? I mean, you're having to think about a lot of different perspectives every day in your job.
Yeah, it's a great question. In short, a lot. It's constant.
Sure.
You know, you're constantly evaluating, I guess, is the best way to put it. And I guess the easiest way for me to kind of conceptualize and speak about that is you get it from all sorts of different sources, right? You have social media who provide a broader, I'm not going to say the best perspective someone has, but a broader one because you do have beat writers, but you also have true fans who are very passionate, like I said, but might be a little off the beaten path that moment. Then you also know what's happening inside the walls. Mm-hmm. You know, so you see, and that's where I think coaches struggle, and part of Nick Saban's rant is nobody sees, and it's not their fault. A lot of times it's a secluded and secured area, right? Nobody sees the work being put in. All we see is, I'm going to go tailgate, hit the stadium, want to win by a lot, Go Ducks.
Right.
There's a ton of work leading up to that. And now that's certainly the fans' role, right? Mm-hmm. They support the team through thick and thin. I think that's where it is challenging to say, oh, I'm set in on this because it's constantly changing. And
I
so,
agree.
Yes, I follow social media. A good example for me is I get the pulse of my dad sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he'll talk about the toilet bowl. He'll talk about he went here in the 70s and mm-hmm. was season ticket holders when there you could sit anywhere in the stadium and the end zones were empty and the parking lot was one big circular thing around the whole stadium. I mean, he gives a very different perspective, but also sometimes that can be beneficial and helpful for me when I've seen in the last 10 years, like you have, some pretty darn good success to not forget about where it started and where the foundation was built from. And I'll give Coach Cristobal credit, Bilotti, Brooks, mm-hmm. There's a lot of people in this program that built it and started it at the foundation. And Oregon athletics today is still leveraging that foundation.
Agreed.
And it's easy for us, and not us necessarily, but a lot of people, to forget about individuals, but also teams, not only coaches, staff members. You know, Dave Williford, right?
Yep.
How many times did he go through tough seasons and whatnot? So you think about all those people that have built it to where we are taking it, and our job now is to continue to build on the foundation, and whenever we're gone, hand it off to the next person to make us all proud Ducks.
Well done. H.J. Cohn is the Senior Associate Athletic Director for the Duck Athletic Fund. This is why we bring H.J. on the show, to have conversations that he had no idea were coming. I knew I was going to ask you a little bit about that, but you just got that. That was just – I had to just give you your soapbox and let you stand on it. I mean, because –
Well, it's easy because I believe in it.
But I do too, and that's why I think that what you're saying about how your perspective is always constantly morphing. I mean, that's how I feel doing this show. Because there are days I walk in and I think that I know exactly what the comment section is going to say, and I am so wrong.
Yeah.
Sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse, you know, like it just happens. But I think it's great to sit here and remember, like, there's a lot of fans that are going to be traveling to Las Vegas for a Friday night kickoff, third straight Pac-12 championship game appearance for the Ducks. Tickets are on sale, by the way.
Tickets are on sale. GoDucks.com/FBTix.
Do you still say backslash? Like, am I still?
Or forward slash? So, I don't know. Jason's going to be upset at me after it's forward or backslash.
No. All right. So, hey, Jason Harris, anybody else? So I record, as you know, a lot of radio advertisements for the department. And every now and then I still get one that says backslash or just regular slash. I'll be honest with you, I don't think it matters in computer coding.
Yeah,
very
I don't
often.
Either. Just go to GoDucks.com.
And people know which slash to hit. It's the one that's on the same one as the question mark.
Exactly. So, no, we do have tickets available. We expect a good amount of fans there. We've seen a good amount of sales so far. Utah, to be quite frank, they've never won a Pac-12 championship. Mm-hmm. I don't think they've been to the Rose Bowl.
They have not.
So, drivable distance, I expect their fans to be show out.
I'll just say this. Bill Riley, voice of the Utes, I had a conversation with him earlier this week, and he was like, this is what it's all about. This would be a bucket list item for me. And I was like, yeah, that'd be cool, Bill, but
yeah.
Yeah,
but
like to see Oregon win.
But think about all three of us here remember this. The famous Jerry Allen call.
That's right.
You know, and so like when you think about bucket list, what he's talking is what Jerry went through.
Exactly.
And you know, this is, again, because my dad gives me perspective, is 58 Rose Bowl, mm-hmm. Or 59, 58 Rose Bowl, I believe, and then, you know, with Coach Brooks, mm-hmm. and then 09 with Chip. And so those are hard to come by until you raise the bar to where it's come the last, call it, 10, 15 years.
Exactly.
And now the bar is such where I'm not going to say fans are upset about 10-2, but
but I think fans expect – great things.
Sure.
Which is great. Also, Benjamin, good point. It does matter in coding. You're right. I was talking about just in HTML when you go to an address bar. More often than not, computers nowadays, with the way that the websites are coded, you can put in both. I've had it work both ways. My point is, I don't think that it matters in the verbiage to say backslash. And in play-by-play, you have to be all about word efficiency. So I'm going to cut out that word to save me a half a second. David also says Dave Williford, great guy, great pull. Talking about Dave, by the way, one of the Oregon greats. And man, there's a lot of great stuff in the comments today. Darren says Utah has sold out their allotment of tickets. Lots of fans making that 5-hour drive. Why not?
Yep.
As they should.
Yep. You know? And their team's in a great place. And obviously, you feel for a program like that, the adversity they've faced this year.
Oh, man. No kidding.
Really have enjoyed seeing all the schools in the Pac-12 rally around them. And rightfully so. That was an easy thing to do.
Tragedy,
as a human. Yeah. They got a great program and a great coach and a great team. And certainly looking forward to another matchup with them.
All right. So 5 o'clock. It's on ABC. It's officially a 5:14 kickoff that gives you an extra 14 minutes to roam around and see fans and go to different. Do you go to tailgaters when you're in Vegas? We talked about how you make your tailgate rounds.
No, there's a tailgater that the UO Alumni Association's putting on, and some other. So with a partnership with Office of Stewardship and us, so we'll certainly be there. But that ends an hour before the game, so there'll be enough time to make sure we get fans in, want to be there before kick. National anthem, celebrate, play football.
You're a believer in being in the stadium early, aren't you?
Well, especially after this year. I mean, when we've been trying to explain to fans at home games and away games, and fans that have traveled also realize that it's not easy because this labor shortage on game days, especially that is happening nationally. So trust me, I hear it, and I hear the feedback from close friends who are also having to be very large supporters and great season ticket holders of challenge getting in, and that's why we've explained it's the bottleneck. And there's always been a bottleneck at some level. Mm-hmm. It's just expedited to another level this year because of the amount of gates we have open and people we can get in.
This is a bad pun because, you know, we don't serve the bottleneck glasses, but that tends to be where the bottleneck is. Am I right?
We're going to break.
H.J. Cohn, Senior Associate Athletic Director with us. We haven't yet talked about men's basketball with a nice 40-point win last night. Ducks got back to the winning side of things. A whole lot more. I said that H was going to host the show. Can you send us to break?
Where's my sponsor at? Who do I need? I'll send you to break. Here you go.
That top line. Top line.
More after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Well done!
Dear Exit Strategy. No matter which Toyota you choose, there's an exit from the ordinary to match. See you soon, Toyota. Visit your local Toyota dealer or toyota.com today. Toyota, let's go places.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Dear Exit Strategy. No matter which Toyota you choose, there's an exit from the ordinary to match. See you soon, Toyota. Visit your local Toyota dealer or toyota.com today. Toyota. Let's go places.
Don't go anywhere. Duck Insider continues after these messages on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You ace vehicle history searches and test drives. You out salesman to the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Look out, world, we're getting strong. The future's here and we belong.
She can step, she can do more.
Like build a rocket and watch it soar.
We'll clean the oceans and make the world a better place. Oh,
she can step, so can you.
Find a cure,
invent something new.
There's no challenge in the world that she can't face.
She can step.
Learn more at She Can Step. A message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Back on Nugget Slider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. He's H.J. Cohn joining us in the Country Financial Studio, Senior Associate Athletic Director for the Duck Athletic Fund. We talked about a lot of stuff there. It was great stuff.
Yeah.
I appreciate you always coming on and letting me ask questions and then letting other people ask you questions, which, by the way, fans, he's still an open book. I mean, he said so, right?
I really am. What am I going to any question, I'll shoot you straight.
Great. That's what I like to hear. The most important one, I think, that we've gotten so far is any update on Noah Sewell. Yes, Coach did have an update on Noah Sewell yesterday. He said the Ducks are trending in the right direction with some guys like Mekhil Wright, who left the game along with Noah Sewell, actually on the same play. Ducks expecting those guys to go against Utah, which is always good news when you get some starters. Because we've seen a lot of Ducks get hurt this year. A lot of adversity that this team's gone through. And a 10-2 season, you're playing in the championship game.
Yep.
That's what it's all about. I want to talk a little more football for you, but how about basketball? Nice to get back at Matthew Knight Arena last night. It was tough. Look, it was a tough trip in Las Vegas. I don't think I ever want to go to the ninth island of Maui or ninth island of Hawaii ever again. Good to get back on the winning side of things last night.
Yeah, absolutely. And getting back into Matthew Knight Arena is always nice for our guys and I think coaches as well. And so to get to a familiar place and even facing – I know we ended up winning by a significant amount, but even that start of the game, facing a little – first punch and then punching back was nice to see our guys come out and play a little bit more of the Coach Altman style that I think we're all used to.
We haven't had you on, H, since fans have been able to come back to Matthew Knight Arena. I mean, just How's that been? You know, just being able to see fans at Matthew Knight Arena again.
Yeah, I think for basketball, especially men's and women's basketball, we have such a great following. We have great season ticket bases on both sides of it. When you look at something like football, you're really talking 7 home games, and it's a pretty big commitment when you're thinking about the texts and emails and calls leading up to the game of who's using what tickets, who's bringing what to the tailgate, going to the game. It's a long, pretty big commitment. When you talk about men's and women's basketball in a town the size that we live in, predominantly most fans coming from Eugene, let's call it. So let's say everyone has about a 10-minute drive or less coming to the game, 2-hour game on a Wednesday night. I think those are the perks and some of the perks of living in a town and a college town like Eugene instead of an LA or a Seattle, if you will. And so to be able to have that back for the fans' sake on a Wednesday night or a Monday night or a Friday night, Saturday, to go do something socially and see friends and support student athletes, the Ducks, which they love to do. And then on the other end of that, reciprocating is for us as administrators, student athletes, coaches, to have that support very much has been missed. I mean, no doubt about it. Even when we're in Vegas, not a ton of fans there. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get up for those games. I mean, you talk about Autzen Stadium going into Autzen last year with no fans. That's hard to get up for.
It was eerie.
I was in Matthew Knight Arena on New Year's Eve last year for a basketball game we had, and it's awkward, right? So to have fans back we are so grateful for them and for them to be back in full force and patience. The patience they've had with our facilities and getting back into their seats and moving towards this digital world has been really appreciated.
Love to see it. Men's basketball is back at home again against UC Riverside tomorrow, and the women's basketball team's got the afternoon matchup against UC Davis. Got a doubleheader at Matthew Knight Arena, so that just gets you ready. A little primer here for what's to come on Friday with the Pac-12 championship game for Oregon football. Yeah, you know, I wanted to ask you, H, because this is the last time that we'll have you on this calendar year. And, you know, I think you're like me where I don't really operate. Well, I mean, I guess you could make a surprise appearance, but I try to schedule you.
No, statement made.
Hey, you guys are busy. I try to schedule you guys out, as you know, like 4 to 6 weeks.
You too.
Because otherwise, and he's laughing about this because he knows this is why I do this. Otherwise, I would never get on their calendars. Anybody in those corner offices, like you guys would never have time to come on the show.
No. Are you going to do a show down at the bowl game, whatever bowl game we go to?
Well, that's what we're working on. I mean, it depends on bowl game.
Let's find a time to get on down there.
I'm planning for Pasadena, H.
Let's target.
You know,
let's go.
You plan for what you want to see. And so we're working on that. Remember, H, it was so much fun a few years ago. It was New Year's Eve. Did a bowl special down at a local watering hole in Pasadena. Gary Campbell came on.
Yep.
God, it was great to hear from Coach Campbell.
Yep.
Those are the shows that, for someone in my position, I just love doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're working on that.
Good.
We're working on that. I wanted to ask you about just the 2021 year, you know? It wasn't 2020. It maybe wasn't the 2021 that we all hoped for from a society perspective, but, man, a lot of success for Oregon athletics. And I ask this knowing that I think you're probably similar to me. I've never gotten off the academic calendar of thinking about years of my life. I never think about it like, oh, it's 2021. It's always 21 to 22, and then it's like the end of the year is like June 30th.
Yeah.
But we are at the end of a calendar year, and I think a significant one for Oregon athletics. Just what are some of your memories as I ask you to look back on this calendar year? What's gonna stick out to you when you look back on it?
I don't even know where to start. I would look back on where we were at the beginning of this current calendar year and no fans and trying to figure out how do we ultimately survive and what's our path
no
out of
guests
this.
Allowed in the studio. We couldn't have HJ actually sitting in the chair. It was really weird.
Yeah, I think all of that, right? Like, it's not just Oregon Athletics that went through it. Like, this whole Zoom world is kind of crazy in some sense still, and we're still doing it, even though we're in the same building in some places. And so I think for when I look back at this year, for me, and this is really what COVID has just done for me personally and my wife, Catherine, and our kids, is perspective and gratitude probably are the two things that come to mind. And, you know, we were just talking last night about, you know, how lucky we are to have a healthy family and a roof and I mean, the basics, right? And it sounds silly. I'm not trying to just say the right words or whatever on air, but like, that's really what you think about at the end of the day. What are you really grateful for after Thanksgiving, especially as you head into holiday season is that. And then when you apply it to Oregon athletics, for me, it's having fans back. I mean, honestly, I look around Autzen Stadium on last Saturday's game and look at the tailgaters going on and people just happy to be there. And, you know, there's these moments in games that we play, obviously, with Shout and coming home where I see people tear up on it. And it's something more than just the game for us. And so when I look back and say, gosh, what am I thankful for? The fans, season ticket holders, donors, and the relationships ultimately at the end of the day, internally and externally.
H.J. Cohn, Senior Associate Athletic Director. Last one for you. Anything else the fans should know? We covered a lot of stuff there.
No, covered a lot. Season ticket renewals are out for football right now. Yep. Those are going. We have early renewal incentives if you renew before December 31. We got a good home schedule next year. Hopefully that'll be announced in the next month or so, the actual dates. And then if you can, make it down to Vegas for the Pac-12 Championship and continue to follow us, whatever bowl game we're selected for.
Yeah, by the way, for those of you who are interested in your season ticket renewals, those early renewals, there's actually rewards for renewing by a certain date. Check your email inbox if you're a season ticket holder.
Payment plans, renewal rewards.
Yeah.
A lot of incentives.
A lot of fun stuff. Yep. And none of them are coming and hanging out with me because that would defer people from getting their season tickets. He's H.J. Cohn, Senior Associate Athletic Director. Hey, thanks, buddy.
See you, Schmuck.
Appreciate you. Always taking the time and joining the Schmuck because, you know, from one Schmuck to another, thanks for what you do, all right?
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Right. We got to get out of here because when we come back, we're saying farewell today to a very special member of Oregon Athletics. It's our last day today. And, man, things just aren't going to be the same. We've also got a bunch of different honors from soccer, volleyball to tell you about, and we're going to hear from Joe Moorhead, Oregon Offensive Coordinator. Keep it here on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of seven. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial Rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon Athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Doc Insider, Doc Insider, Doc Insider continues after this timeout on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Back inside the Country Financial Studio, I'm Joey Mack. Thanks for joining us here on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield. And man, it's always a sad day when a longtime coworker moves on, but this one is a good reason. Megan Robertson from the Oregon Marketing Department, 16 years with Oregon Athletics. Today is her last day. You have seen her roaming around at Matthew Knight Arena, at Autzen Stadium, at Hayward Field, at every other facility imaginable. Megan has spent the majority of her career here, and man, she is one of the best. Moving on in her career, and we wish her nothing but the best. I personally am going to very much miss hearing Megan give me cues in my ear, because what you all don't know is that a lot of times when I'm not on the air and when I'm hosting events around Oregon Athletics, chances are there's somebody talking to me. It's actually usually Megan, and I'm going to miss her. Megan Robertson, best of luck in your next future endeavor. 16 years with Oregon Athletics, and man, she's going to be missed, but it's not going to be the same. But it's okay. It's okay. It's our last day today. Oregon Soccer, a program record-setting four student-athletes, were named to the United Soccer Coaches All-Pacific Region teams on Monday, including the inaugural first-team selection for Oregon. The owner of four school records, goalkeeper Leah Freeman, became the first Duck named to the All-Pacific Region team. Forward Allie Cook was a second-team selection, while midfielder Zoe Hasenauer and defender Croy Soto were third-team picks. It's not surprising that the Ducks are seeing an unprecedented amount of postseason awards after the year they had. They were just outside of that NCAA tournament bubble. I'll tell you what, though. I'm already looking forward to next fall with what Graham Abel has coming back. And speaking of players coming back, Oregon Volleyball is getting ready now as they're traveling today for a Thursday meeting. That's right, with Kansas. 2:30 Pacific time is when first serve is scheduled for the first round in Omaha, Nebraska of the NCAA tournament. And on the strength of their standout efforts during the regular season, Carson Bacon and Brooke Nunneviller have both been named to the All-Pac-12 volleyball team as announced Monday by the league office. Additionally, Georgia Murphy and Gloria Mutiri were honorable mention performers in the year-end release. But congratulations big time to Brooke Nunneviller and Carson Bacon. Carson Bacon ended up leading the conference in hitting percentage. Just an impressive, impressive year for those four standouts. And again, Oregon, 18th NCAA tournament appearance. The 64-team field was announced on Sunday. The Ducks will face Kansas in the first round in Omaha, Nebraska, hosted by Creighton. I think Oregon's got a good chance to win. I really like their chances. I really like Matt Ulmer's team. Also, shout out to Gwen Savekas, former Oregon softball player, the 2018 NFCA National Catcher of the Year for the Ducks. She has been invited to participate in the 2022 USA Softball Women's National Team Selection Trials. Going to be held the first week of January. Best of luck, Gwen. Would be awesome to see another Duck on that Team USA roster. That's a look around Oregon athletics. Now, let's hear from Joe Moorhead, the Oregon offensive coordinator, answering, look, a ton of questions today. He said it himself, the carousel spins rapidly this time of year, to the point where someone like me gets a little nauseous sometimes. Joe Moorhead talking with the media after practice today.
So, was I mistaken, or were you actually on the field pregame for the first time?
No, that was the first time. Felt good to be back down there.
So, take us through I know you go through benchmarking with QBs, and it's like it sounds like you take it for granted, but after 2 months ago, you don't take that for granted.
Yeah. What happened the morning of the Stanford game really helps you gain a lot of perspective on things in life, and, taking your health for granted is probably one of them. So the incremental steps that have been taken, to get back to health and, just to be back down on the field for pregame and, really – with what was on the line, kind of made you, appreciative for everything that's happened since the Stanford game.
Since you can't be on the sideline, as you mentioned, how much of you in these raucous post-game locker rooms, like a Washington or even this past week, how much, are you basically like bubble boy in the court? What are they letting you do? How much are you allowed to, be around, raucous 18 to 20?
I try to stay as far away from the mosh pit as I can. So I'll just tuck myself in the corner and enjoy it from afar.
Do you see the game differently now, after time in the booth and now back down?
That's an interesting question. It had been so long since I had been up there to call a game, and my entire perspective had been from either a head coach play caller or primarily a play caller on the field. But being back up there, I think, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, it's a stoic, sterile environment. You've got a great view, and I'm really kind of enjoying it again, to the point where I'm not, if given the option again, I'm not quite sure which one I do, because I feel like I've been seeing it really well from up here.
How much have you reached out to or been reached out to Akron or any other university
Akron
at all?
Yes. Any other university? Yeah, well, certainly it's the time of year where the carousel is spinning very quickly in some instances. And, I've heard or seen my name attached to, multiple openings, this cycle and, quite frankly, the past 2 years. But, all I can say is that all my focus and attention's on doing the things that are necessary to help our offense prepare to play well on Saturday.
When you look at that game or this game itself in a dome, elements aren't going to be a factor. They've been a factor for you guys the past 2-3 weeks. Do you prefer that when you can actually let the game plan play itself out and not have to worry about weather altering game script?
Absolutely. Play every game in a dome. control the elements there. And, championship games that I've been a part of in the past, the Penn State one we played at the Colt Stadium, didn't have any indoors at 1AA, but the MAC championship game we played at Ford Field. So, you know, kind of take back to or look back to those situations, and they're ones where we've we played pretty well under those conditions.
When you're building a game plan with the opponent you played so recently, is it a chess match? I mean, what's the thought? Has it changed at all how you prepare in terms of you just played this team, you've seen them on tape really recently? How does that impact kind of building everything this week?
Yeah, we've added the Colorado game to the breakdown, because that's the most recent game, and kind of used the stuff that we had heading into the first Utah game. But they're a very well coached team, and there's going to be tweaks that they have, and there's going to be tweaks that we have. So I don't think you're going to make a huge overhaul and do something completely different. But there are, things that certainly from a tendency standpoint and a schematic standpoint that we need to be prepared for, and things that we need to do to change as well.
With DJ Johnson being available for this game, just DJ Johnson's availability for this game, Mario said he's going to play. Just how important is that?
Very important. DJ's played a critical role for us over the past 2 years, and he'll play both sides of the ball this year and does a phenomenal job in the run game. And, we get him the ball in some of those short passes. He's a big guy to bring down. So keeping our fingers crossed that he continues to progress, and excited for him to have a role in this game.
Can you ask you about Chris Hudson just stepping up? Sorry, so many questions. Yeah. Chris Hudson stepping up, though, because his production the last 2 weeks matches the whole season leading up to it.
Yeah.
Just what you've seen there and obviously needed because of the injuries and everything.
Yeah, I'm very excited that Chris has stepped up with the opportunity that's been presented to him, playing both the Z and the H position. And I think the things that you've seen are him being able to get open and create separation, particularly in the spot with some of them over routes that were two critical plays in the Oregon State game. And he can make people miss after the catch. So he's gotten his opportunity. He seized it. I know Anthony's very comfortable throwing him the ball. So, young guy who's continued to get better and better.
After having the chance to watch the film from the Utah and Oregon State games, obviously very different outcomes, but what do you think allowed you guys to kind of find your stride and bounce back as an offense against the Beavers?
I don't think it was anything where we completely changed our approach or our game plan or how we called it. Quite frankly, I think it's the opposite. We stayed consistent, believed in what we were doing, and had a great week of practice, hopefully called some good plays, and the kids executed them well. I think you look back to the Utah game and it's not a situation where there were, 10-3 and outs and we punted 20 times. We moved the ball in between the 20s in the first half and, missed a couple field goals and, had some drives that we didn't finish in the second half. So, we needed to be better in that game on third down and in the red zone. So, Coach talks about culture and our process, and I think, adversity kind of introduces a man to himself, right? And we came out of that game and, nobody was happy. And, we fell back on the things that are reflective of our culture, and I think that's why we were able to bounce back with a big win over a great opponent in Oregon State.
We talked after the Utah loss, Joe, about the running game, the lack of production was more about circumstance.
I believe that.
But this past week, in the first half, 4 runs on P&10, 13 out of 18 on first. That's obviously, when you talk about sticking to who you are, how important will that be and to sticking to that? And yes, I realize circumstance can dictate otherwise, but to trying to not allow for the circumstance to dictate to get away from the run game.
I think we perform best when we're balanced. And I know our P&10 runs in this pass game, I think we may not have had a P&10 pass. And that was another situation in the Utah game where we had multiple – I'm sorry, I'm so – with my hands in the microphone. I get to speak with my hands. I see it. But we got behind the sticks and kind of got us out of our element of being able to be balanced. And then in the second half, we were playing 4 touchdowns down. So for us to be successful, we've got to be able to do both, very well. And I think this past game was a great example of us being able to, I think it was 275 and 225, kind of more on that. So got to be able to be balanced. Can't get behind the sticks.
With what you've gone through personally, John, obviously that's much more obviously direct.
Yeah.
But Mario obviously also going through something personally with his mom here this past week plus. These are all the human things that, fans, the fans in the stadium don't necessarily see a lot of this. Yeah. What is it, you're in the room. He's gone a little bit this weekend. Just what does this mean right now to the rest of the coaching room when he's out handling something very serious?
You're right. It's part of the profession that probably, I don't want to say it doesn't get talked about, but, we're it's a results-oriented business where people are expecting a quality product on the field, and they want wins. And talk about not making excuses, and I get that part, but there is certainly in every aspect of a coach's life a human element that's very real, and very visceral. And you know, whether it's a, you know, a coach like me getting surgery and going down for a while, or you know, coach's mom, you know, that's a time where, like any family, you know, you got to pull together. And we certainly had all of our thoughts and prayers with Coach and his family during that time.
Understanding that, again, you've come from being a head coach, want to be again at one point or another.
Yeah.
What goes through the decision-making process of, obviously, you're well compensated here and you're in a good spot here, but opportunities will present themselves. What goes into the thought process, decision-making, when those opportunities arise?
Yeah, they have, and they will continue to. But the three criteria I've always used in this order are personal, professional, and monetary. You know, how does the decision affect you and your family, and how does it benefit them? You know, professionally, you have a chance to go somewhere where you can either sustain success or you know, rebuild. And like you said, the monetary part, you know, everybody likes money. But, you know, I've gotten to a point where, I mean, I grew up, my dad was a steel worker, had three jobs, and, you know, we were the lowest end of middle class you can be. So I still don't even know my ATM code. So I have to ask my wife for money. So the money part of it, yeah, we have some of it, but I don't have any in my wallet and have to ask her for an allowance. So, you know, that part's down a little further and down the trough right now.
In terms of disseminating that information, Joe, and whenever a decision may or may not arise, because you talk about being focused this week.
Yeah.
So I'm saying more. Anything after Friday?
There's nothing. I mean, we're preparing and we're getting ready to play the game, and then we'll deal with anything that happens after that.
How do you handle players seeing that publicly? You know, your name being attached to other jobs.
They haven't brought it up. We're so myopic and focused on what we're doing right now that they understand, and coach creates a culture of, you know, no distractions, and you know, it hasn't even been brought up.
What are the decisions that from AB that he's made in the second half of the season, Joe, where that seems to be improved in all ways, the ball's not really in jeopardy almost at all? How is that different than first half of the season versus what we've seen the last six games?
Yeah, I think there were times, you know, there probably just wasn't that high level of consistency during the first part of the season. And, you know, I think since the UCLA game, really, we've seen a, you know, steady climb in execution, in production, you know, explosive plays, you know, protecting the football. And I think his level of confidence has really grown since that point. So he's a very mature guy, played a lot of football, but, you know, hopefully he's rewarded here when this list comes out, because I think he deserves it. I think he deserves to be an all-conference quarterback in this league, because I think he's one of the best.
A lot of great stuff from Joe Moorhead, Oregon offensive coordinator, meeting with the media. Heard from Tim DeRuiter today. We'll have that for you on the show tomorrow, and a number of student athletes previewing that Friday. 5 o'clock kickoff, going to be televised on ABC. 3 o'clock pregame show for us on the Oregon Sports Network from Vegas. When we come back, a little bit more on football, but I want to touch on men's basketball. Ducks got back to the winning side of things in a big way last night at Matthew Knight Arena. Going to hear from Coach Altman coming up on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
After 2 years of construction, my wife and I finally moved into our dream home. So when a bathtub fixture broke, causing major water damage, I was glad we had the home insurance protection we needed. How do you know your home is protected? Talk to a Country Financial rep like me, Nick Simon. We can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs. Then if something happens to your home, you won't have any surprises. Need the right coverage for your home but not sure where to start? Visit TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local Country representative.
What's with Mountain Dew? Mountain Dew is like a zipline of incredible flavor directly into your brain. Mountain Dew is like getting punched in the mouth with pure neon refreshment that creates a neural explosion, sending flavor shards of electric brain pulses into your very core of being. Okay, maybe that's a little over the top, but you get the idea. The fact is, the mind-bending challenge of describing the taste of Mountain Dew is way harder than just experiencing it. That, of course, is easy. Just grab an ice-cold Dew, crack it open, and toss them back. Mountain Dew. Do the Dew.
Duck Insider, your home for the latest news on Oregon athletics on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Watch out! You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nfamilyfire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh.
know. Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Back on Nugget Sider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack in the Country Financial Studio. Last night, Oregon men's basketball got back to their winning ways with an 87-47 victory over Montana. And look, Ducks shot 66%. 66% from the floor, 53% from three, but they only shot 62% at the free throw line, as Oregon continues to struggle a little bit at the free throw line. But the point is, Oregon made shots, and they gave up just 26% shooting to a Montana team that came in shooting 40% from three. Ducks gave up just 28% from three in this game last night. At one point, Oregon made 12 straight field goals, and Folly Dante made his first start of the season for the Ducks. He had 11 points to go with 7 rebounds. Will Richardson scored 18. It was great to see him get out of that funk that he was in, it seemed like, over the last 4 games or so. All in all, a step in the right direction. But as Dane Altman said postgame, still a lot of work to be done for the Ducks. Here's Coach Altman meeting with the media following their win at Matthew Knight Arena.
Dana, just good to see the ball go in the hoop and the effects that has on the team's energy the rest of the way.
Absolutely. It's been a long 2 weeks. And the guys really struggled through it and hadn't been easy on us. So it was good to get some energy, make some shots. The ball movement was much better tonight. I think we did a little better job. And Folly makes a difference when we could play through him a little bit more. I thought we took a step in the right direction. We've got a long ways to go. We still are not a good basketball team, but it was definitely a step in the right direction.
Will was a lot more aggressive on his shots tonight after not shooting the ball too much over the last 4. I'm just curious, is that something you talked to him about, or was that just kind of his own mindset changing after that kind of slump there?
Well, part of it was my fault, and I just didn't run enough stuff for him. I didn't put him in enough positions to be aggressive, and he missed a few shots early in a couple of those ball games and didn't get aggressive, but I sure didn't help him out. And, that's something as a coach, you got to work with guys. You got to admit when you get in a position to be successful. And, part of the problem was me not getting him in the right position, not making him be aggressive. And, we talked about it. Spent a long time talking after the Houston game. He came to my room and, we talked about a lot of things. But, I thought we ran a few things for him. He was more aggressive, did some nice things. So, I thought he took a step.
Touch on a little bit there, but take us in a little bit into some of these conversations after the games in Vegas, at least, either the post game or in the days since Thanksgiving, when you guys have been back at practice, of just what the tone and tenor has been like, how much character building, for lack of a better term, has been going on over the last week in particular, of how this team is able to respond in the way it did tonight, but still has, like you say, a long ways to go.
I told the guys, my team's over, 42 years and 33 years doing this at this level. We've been beat before, but I was just disappointed in the way we competed. We faced adversity and we didn't handle it well. And that was my biggest complaint. I've always said, there are going to be games you don't shoot it well. And if you just give into it in games you don't shoot it well, don't rebound, don't defend, you're not going to be a good team. You can't have a good team. You're just going to wait for the night you shoot it well. You're not going to have a good basketball team. And I told him, I've talked about that since the start of practice. You've got to do the things you control a little bit more than scoring, and rebound the ball, defend, your tail off, no matter if the ball's going in or not. And we have done a poor job of that. I haven't been able to convince them, you know, that that's the way we've got to do it. And again, we all share that responsibility. But again, you know, I've got to make sure the message gets across. And, you know, we haven't connected. You know, the team hasn't connected with each other, and they haven't connected with myself and my staff. And, you know, that's always important. You know, and we've had problems before in years past where we weren't connected, and the guys came along and we got connected, and we worked things out. And I'm hoping this group will do that. There is no guarantee. Every group dynamic is different. Every team's different. So I believe they will, but there is no guarantee. And we're going to have to bring it tomorrow in practice. We're going to have to bring it Wednesday night against Riverside. And then we got to get ready for our first conference game on Sunday. So it was a start. It was a move in the right direction. But we had a long ways. We got a long ways to go because we've dug ourselves a hole in the last 2 weeks.
Coach, you got some good production from Dante tonight in his minutes. I'm curious if you could assess how you think he's progressing and if we might see that limit restriction removed going forward or at least bumped up.
Oh, no, it'll be a slow process. I'm not sure the exact time frame, but as I mentioned before, we'll be really conservative. We won't let him get fatigued. You know, we could have went a few more minutes than we played him. I think we played him 15 or 16. We could have went a few more minutes tonight. But with the game right away on Wednesday, I didn't feel it was necessary. So, you know, we'll gradually move him to 20. But I think it'll be a while before we get over 20.
Hey, Danny, when you see that 41-15 rebound advantage, you know, what does that mean to you? Is it just a size advantage you had over them, or were you guys just – performing really well on the boards?
No, I think it was the size. You know, we were up 10 at half on the boards, and then 16, you know, with Nate really did a nice job. You know, Nate's had a couple good weeks of practice here. He's getting better and being more physical. Isaac's getting better, being more physical. We had a problem with physicality with both those guys, but they're lowering their base. They're being a little bit more athletic. You know, I like the progress they both made here in the last couple of weeks. You know, so mostly size, but, you know, I thought we went after it better. And, you know, when the ball's going in, you know, young players, you know, get more energized. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, good teams, doesn't matter if the ball's going in or not. They just play. Teams that aren't as connected, maybe young, inexperienced, not together, they give into it. And we obviously have given into it a number of times.
Coach, congrats on the win tonight. The full court press was really working well tonight. You forced 13 total turnovers. Jacob Young had four steals of his own. And you guys kept the full court press going even when you were up big. Can you talk about what the press does for you guys' defense as a whole?
Well, I think we took it off with 6 minutes to go, but I wanted everybody to get a chance to work on it. You know, I wanted everybody to have a chance to work on that defense in a game situation. Shoot, we haven't scored enough points to set our press, you know, so we needed some work on it. And so I wanted everybody to get an opportunity, especially those freshmen late, to run the press and then get back and put our defense together. So I think with 6 minutes or so, 5 minutes we took off just to, you know, because we had a sizable lead. But again, it's a work in progress. It has been great to us in the past. It's who we are. You know, we got to be who we are. And, you know, the press has always been a big part of our defense, changing things up. And we got some guys that, you know, have never done it. I'm not sure they quite believe in it. But, You know, those are the connective things that I talked about that we've got to do.
Those are big, especially because the press has always been a staple of Oregon's teams. It really forces teams to get into their half-court offense much later into the shot clock. And when you're trying to play against Oregon's matchup zone, when the Ducks are really clicking, that is very, very tough to do. Very tough to do. I think that could be a huge key for this team. And frankly, I think this particular team lends itself to being a good pressing team because guys like Williams have done it for a time or for a couple seasons now. They've got the length around the perimeter, and they certainly have the length with the bigs in the post. And I thought that even Luke Warr, he came in, was at the top of Oregon's press defending the inbound pass. That's a spot where the Ducks could really use him. You know, Luke Warr's still coming along offensively. I felt like he did some good things with that long wingspan that he's got. I'll be honest. I looked at that and went, you know, that could really work. He could give the Ducks some really important minutes in that regard. I think that this was a good step forward. It's not perfect yet for the Ducks. As Coach Altman said on the postgame radio show with me, that was with the general media that you just heard. But on the postgame radio show with me, those of you maybe were driving home, listen to that. Yeah, there's still some work to be done for this team, and Coach knows it. But I think they're trending now in the right direction. But now they got to do it again against a UC Riverside that, yes, it took a half-court heave, but they beat Arizona State earlier this year. And the Ducks play Arizona State on Sunday. Transitive property of basketball, something's got to give, right? When we come back going through the schedule for the week, it's a big one for Oregon Athletics. Back after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Dear past, present, and future football watchers, football is back! So consider this your official excuse for always putting football watching first, courtesy of Pepsi. That haircut appointment? Seeing the in-laws for the first time in ages?
It's been so long!
Nope, sorry, Susan, not if it's on Sunday. Long story short, after the year we've all had, we think you could use a little football watching. So crack open a Pepsi and cheer your football watching face off. With love, Pepsi. Made for football watching. That's what I like.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon Athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
This is Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Back on Duck Insider, presented by OnPoint Community Credit Union. Joey Mack inside the Country Financial Studio. No show for us on Friday, for Duck Insider at least, because we've got the big show, which is the pregame show at 3 o'clock coming your way across the Oregon Sports Network for Oregon and Utah in the Pac-12 championship game at 5 o'clock. It's officially a 5:14 kickoff on ABC. Terry Johns will have the pregame show for you starting at 3 o'clock. Jerry and Jorgie and I will be there as well. Oregon football, man, this is going to be fun. Now, it's a shortened week already. A lot going on, and we'll tell you about it with our Keys to the Game Quack Minute coming your way tomorrow. We will be traveling on Thursday, so that means that for those of you who usually watch the show live or listen live in the 1 o'clock hour, we're actually going to do the show from 10 to 11 in the morning on Thursday. Yeah, so 10 to 11 in the morning on Thursday. If you tune in on the podcast or on demand anyway or via one of the Oregon Sports Network affiliate stations, same time for you. But we're going to do the show before we catch our flight to Vegas. And I'm a little bit upset that I'm going to be in the air during the Oregon women's volleyball matchup. 2:30, the Ducks, Pacific time that is, 2:30 Pacific time, Oregon, opening up the NCAA tournament on Thursday. Looking forward to it. We'll see you for Duck Insider tomorrow. Hear from Tim DeRuiter.
Okay, man, this is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're going to go out there and be an all-star caregiver. Cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You got to dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments, because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Show the world that you're tougher than tough. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
To some, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much, but that's not true. They're testing out vowels and consonants and trying different sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on meaning. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
It's 4 a.m., Monday, and you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Oregon Sports Network.